following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us once again. And before we get started, I just want to remind the listeners that just because we discuss certain strategies, certain tax rules, certain investment strategies, etc., that you should not try this on your own. Why don't you check with your existing advisors who hopefully are familiar with your facts and circumstances and can tell you whether or not that what you thought you heard is accurate and whether or not it would enhance your current or future outcomes. And speaking of future, we do talk a lot about, I hate to use the word, but I'll use it, retirement. And I would rather think of that as, instead of retiring, we're refocusing, because in many cases that's truly what's happening. And I see it a lot here overseas in Thailand, where I'm at now, and there's a lot of refocused folks over here that appear to be doing anything but retiring. They are not finished. They're enjoying life, they're traveling, they're experiencing a new culture at a substantially lessened cost than what their quote retirement end quote might consist of in the U.S. And all of us Americans seemingly love the U.S. In spite of the issues, and yet we can, I'm pretty sure the people I've run into over here from America still love the U.S., but boy, do we like the culture here, the food here, the cost of living here. There's just so many pluses that we have here. It's hard not to notice the differences, the stark differences. And, of course, knowing that we can pop back over to the U.S. pretty much any time. But in any event, if you're contemplating refocusing anytime soon, take a look at Thailand. There's tons of videos online on YouTube primarily that should whet your appetite. And if you need more details or you want some concierge type assistance, by all means, let me know. That's something we can engage on, and I can save you a learning curve. You know, it only took me 20 years of going back and forth before I finally achieved the level of knowledge base that I have. And I'm not done, by the way. I am not done learning. There's a lot I can learn. But as I watch some of these videos online, I see things commented on or spoken about that you can tell the person that's produced them may not have been here as long as they would like you to think they have been, and sometimes they're a little bit short on detail or background that would help you learn even more quickly. But anyway, so for those of you that don't have advisors currently that understand the subject matter that we discuss on this show, again, real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, and utilizing your retirement funds to invest in real estate private partnership syndications, predominantly multifamily assets, Or maybe they don't understand the strategies to achieve a zero tax rate by the time you get to retirement. I'll use the word in that case. Feel free to connect with us. The best way, the first thing to do if you want us to discuss your future is go to our website, baplanner.com. And if you'll click the link at the top right, or second from the top right, the forms link, and fill out just the first, at least the first form on that page, the client profile form, then you can schedule a call. There's a call scheduler right next to that form link, and you can pick a time that we can have a phone call, and I'll help you understand how we might help you achieve your goals and objectives as you move towards refocusing. And that's true whether you're speaking of doing that in America or whether you might consider doing that in Southeast Asia. We would really be interested in working with you if you're going to take that step. And, you know, there's a lot of ways of approaching that, and there's no one way that fits everybody. So anyway, today I wanted, it's been a while since we've discussed one of my favorite tax saving strategies involving your future. If you're still working and thinking of at some point refocusing into your later years, and it's the concept or the strategy of utilizing a self-directed 401 trust as your vehicle for saving for retirement and investing. And some of you, I'm sure, have heard some of the negative comments on the air with other real estate mentors, if you will, that talk about how, you know, you pay the 401, the 401 doesn't pay you, or you can't use your money, you can't get to your money to control your money and invest in real estate, both of which are patently false. And I would suggest you reconsider other advice that said parties might be offering, because maybe they don't know the answers on that front, whatever that front is, as well. But let me just debunk the first myth, which is you pay your 401, it never pays you, or it doesn't pay you until later. No, that's not correct. You can pay yourself via your self-directed, I'll say that phrase again, self-directed 401, literally a day after you create it or adopt it and fund it with a rollover from your existing IRAs or 401 plan that you're in, maybe at a larger company. And you don't even have to necessarily have separated from that company. There's several ways we can get to your funds or access your funds without you having terminated service from that company. That's something we can chat about if you submit your client profile form. And then secondly, so first is, you know, you can take money out of the 401, this type of 401. It's not the kind that you have at the big company. I mean, yeah, there's some ways to get money out of that one, but it's not nearly as satisfying as the self-directed model. You know, I think of a commercial. I'm sure many of you have seen that commercial, and I'll get it off YouTube and put it out on our website at some point. But it's just a treat, this commercial, and it's a lady that has gone to meet with her financial planner, and says she wants to take money out of her 401. She's obviously not elderly. She's youngish. I would say maybe late 30s, early 40s. Good spirited lady, I would say. And So she asked him, she said, well, I'd like to take some of my money, or maybe all of her money. Can't remember exactly how the commercial read. But I want to take my money out of my 401. And he said, well, you know, are you sure that's a good idea? And he said, most people want to leave that money in there. He's citing the government's line, right? It's like the more you can get in there, the more we, the government, are going to get on our share, right? And she said, well, when can I take it? And he said, oh, well, you need to wait until you're, you know, 60 years old or so. And she says, well, that's not going to work. it's hilarious, the delivery. And I'm thinking, you know, the answer is totally different if she had her money in a self-directed 401. And you may know the term solo K. That's a marketing term that's used by many of the custodial type companies that sell self-directed 401 plans. They just don't call it that term. You know, we use the language that's in the Internal Revenue Code. And so I think, my, what a different commercial. If I had the money to run national commercials, boy, I could cook up a doozy that would debunk that myth. And then lastly, you know, I look at what's said very often in various and assorted webinars and in-person mentor workshops and meetings where they suggest that, hey, you need to free up your money. You need to rip the Band-Aid off of that 401. Go ahead and pay the damage. Pay the tax that the government is due. And then invest the remaining, and they don't say this part, I will, invest what remains. So you're down to somewhere between 50 and 60% typically will be left in your 401 if you rip the Band-Aid off and pay your taxes. It, in large measure, depends the level, exact level would depend on, one, how old you are. In other words, are you subject to a penalty? And two, do you pay any state taxes? So it actually could easily be 50% if you're already, you know, if you're working, making, you know, above average W-2 type money or self-employment money. Geez, self-employed, it's going to be even higher because of the SE tax. But bottom line is, that's just an insane approach to teaching people how to invest their retirement funds in real estate. Number one, you're not done paying taxes. And that's the myth that gets tossed along with that strategy is, oh, get rid of the man. You'll be done with the IRS. Well, no, that's not the case. Last time I looked, people that have ripped the Band-Aid off still get K-1s that still have income. Usually it's the capital gain at the upon the exit of the project. I do tax returns for a living, friends. I know exactly how it works. And many of the mentors obviously don't do tax returns, or they wouldn't be dispensing some of the advice that they give so freely. And I'm warning you, don't fall prey to that. You can invest in real estate. You can control your money with a different vehicle than the original 401k that Congress passed and big companies implemented. And you can do it before you separate service from the big company plan. And if you want to know how to do that, again, fill out our forms, and I'll need you to add form 2 when you do that on the page at baplanner.com. When you go to the forms link, there towards the top right, I believe it's the second link over, and you'll see a retirement plan profile. I'll need you to complete that, and it's a short one. The first form, unfortunately, since we don't know anything about you, we'll need to know a lot. That's probably a 15 to 30 minute form, depending on how involved your current financial picture is. but the retirement plan profile shouldn't take 5 minutes, if that, and then I'll have what I need to advise you accordingly. But I'm going to tell you, and we'll take a break here momentarily, but I want to tell you before we leave for the break, and I'm going to repeat it when we get back from the break, the self-directed 401 is the most tax-efficient vehicle. If you qualify to have that type of plan, and many people do, it is the singular most tax-efficient vehicle to invest in real estate, period. And I say that understanding that some of you have ripped the Band-Aid off, put your money in a money market account, and then invested from your money market account. I'm going to tell you, it's especially more tax efficient that way. You will pay zero tax to get your money invested into real estate. And if you want to know how much you'll pay in tax otherwise, we can talk about that when we come back as well. If I get someone that'll shoot me a text to 713-782-1900 and say yes, discuss, then when we come back, I'll run through an example just off the cuff of what it would cost someone that had, I don't know, $1 million maybe. It's probably a good number to use in their current 401 plan. But anyway, we'll circle back momentarily with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before the break, we were talking about the topic I'm going to spend most of this week's show on, which is that of the self-directed 401k trust or plan. And again, I mentioned earlier that many of you will know the term Solo K, and you might not have realized that's a fictitious name. That's fake news, I guess, that's made that name up. That doesn't appear anywhere in the Internal Revenue Code or regs. Some of the IRS publications refer to it, however, so it is a legitimate term. It's just I like using the word self-directed 401 because it helps focus people on the merits, the benefits, some of the benefits. The self-directed 401 actually is far more beneficial than the regular 401 at a big company. Why? Because it's a retirement plan. It's a single employee retirement plan. That's how the IRS refers to it in their publication involving retirement plans. They have several publications that discuss that area. But, you know, the thing that makes it so much better is that you become the administrator if you care to. You're the administrator, you're the trustee, you're the participant. You can wear all those hats, or you can have someone else, maybe a spouse or a uncle or whoever, provided you're not doing any transactions with those parties, which they're all, or most of them are off limits in terms of the prohibited party rules. But in any event, as I mentioned before the break, the self-directed 401 trust is the single best tax-efficient plan or program, I guess you could call it, if you're thinking of undertaking an investment program to purchase real estate. It's the best way, period. There's no comparison. When you look at your net throughput over whatever the rest of your life you think that's going to be, it's absolutely the best option. And it's the best option once you get into the retirement years in terms of, you know, getting to the point where you have to take RMDs, and you might want to convert to Roth, for instance. We strongly suggest Roth conversions. The 401 is the most superior form of retirement plan or plans for you to utilize. And there's other reasons we like it, but that's, I guess, just from a global 30,000 foot view, that's the reason that I suggest people take a look at it. And it's easy to do the Roth conversion. I mean, yes, you have to have the money to pay the tax that would be due. Effectively, you're drawing a line in the sand and saying, hey, IRS, we're going to define right now, today, how much your share of my retirement money is. We're not going to wait 10 years or 20 years and then make the calculation of how much is yours. And by the way, for those mentors that are pulling their hair out right now, because I've just kind of, you know, exposed their hypocrisy on telling you that you should rip the Band-Aid off, you know, you can rip the Band-Aid off by doing a Roth conversion, and at half the cost if you've already invested in private company partnerships. What do you think about that, Mr. Guru? And it's amazing to me that the face that those folks can put on that discussion. They act like they know what they're talking about, when in fact they're giving you some of the worst advice. At that point in your life, when you need every dollar working for your future retirement, or refocusing, as I like to say, you need every dollar. And for them to look you in the eye and act like, oh, you're giving it to the man by doing this, it's just insanity. And, you know, not only is it insane because you're paying taxes at a higher valuation, you're paying tax based on what your plan is going to liquidate the assets at. That's market value. That's not looking to time a dip in the market, or it's not paying tax on the value of private company investments, which is what we will do if we work with you on converting your existing pre-tax funds over to Roth. And, you know, it's crazy the difference in the amount of money that over your lifetime. It won't just be when you rip the Band-Aid off. You're going to pay a lot then, and we'll discuss that here in a second. But think about having 30 to 50%, and I'm going to say it's hardly ever as low as 30%. If you're working when you do the conversion, and if you convert very much of it, which you don't have to convert all of it in 1 year, you can convert that over as many years as you'd like to take. I think realistically, we've probably got at least 5 years remaining that you could split it up in. And, you know, the goal, at least in today's tax structure where we've got brackets that are, you know, I know there's a split at 22 and 24. Those are the two brackets we try to stay within when we calculate how much we want to convert to Roth for a given client. We feel like that's a reasonable level of tax to pay. But again, we're paying it on a lower tax base because, you know, we're doing it after we get the money rolled over and invested into private real estate partnerships. So we get the benefit of the private company discounts that are available when you're calculating the tax basis for non-stock exchange or trading exchange type assets. So the benefit is not just the amount of tax that we are going to pay. It's going to be much less than if we did it when your money was sitting at Schwab or Fidelity, etc. But now you've got those dollars into a tax-free vehicle so that over the rest of your life, you're going to have a chance, given qualified distributions or what take place, which they should be if you work with us, we'll make sure they are, then you've got the benefit of tax-free income for the rest of your life. And it's stark. It's absolutely stark. And, you know, I would also suggest to you, you know, we were talking just before the break. I mentioned that if I could get a couple texts from somebody or anybody listening to the show to talk about what it would cost otherwise to convert or to not convert per se. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's do what they say, the mentors that preach this style of putting it to the man, so to speak, which you're doing anything but that. Boy, you're showing the man when you write your, you know, $500,000 check on $1 million pre-tax account. They're going to say thank you, and do you have any friends that can play on that, on those terms? But in any event, let's assume you had $1 million in your well, I don't want to mention a company name, but most of the big companies use Schwab or Fidelity or UBS to manage their funds. So let's assume you've got $1 million sitting there in one of those accounts, and you call them up and say, I'd like to undergo or undertake a Roth conversion, and how much am I going to need? How much money am I going to need to pay the tax? And they're going to say, well, gee, at the rate that you've, you know, given that you're already making, let's say you're making $150,000 a year, and you're going to add $1 million to it. Let's see here, 2025 tax brackets. And I'm not going to give you the precise number. I'm just simply going to give you the marginal tax bracket that you would be in. And if you're married, filing joint, and you're in the 600, let's call it 600, 650 range, you're going to hit the 35% bracket. You'll be in the incremental bracket. Now, most of that payment will occur at the 24 to 32% levels, but it's a lot of money. And so let's assume on average 30%. And so you're looking at, a couple $100,000 would be your tax. And that's $200,000 you won't have the rest of your life. Does that sound like you're sticking it to the man? To me, it sounds like the man stuck it to you. Conversely, had you rolled the million over to a self-directed 401 and then proceeded to invest it in private partnerships or private partnership syndications, involving apartments would be the low-hanging fruit, I would suggest, then, you're looking at once those funds are invested, then we look at converting to Roth. And in most cases, we're looking at discounts between, the lack of marketability discount. You can't sell that interest when you want to. It's not tradable. You got to wait till a lead partner or maybe 180 other people can agree to sell. That'd be your other passive partners. And then you also have discounts related to the fact that you don't control decisions of the partnership. That's, a hefty discount. Both those two are hefty discounts. The IRS has either won or settled cases involving valuation discounts, tax court type decisions over the last few years. 20 to 25% seemingly is the range that are allowed. And then you've got another 20 or so risk factors to run down the list on. If it's a real estate partnership, that you might put a percent or two here or a percent or two there. Economic conditions, the unique characteristics of real estate. You might not be able to rent the units when you think you can. You might not be able to rent them at the rate of rent that you think you can. These would all be from the pro forma of your private placement memorandum or PPM. You might not be able to refinance when you think you can. You might get mowed down with, 11 rate increases is what the Fed did here 2 or 3 years ago. That could happen again, folks. Don't think it won't. The real question is, will your lead partner be better prepared than many lead partners were this time? And you can't put all the blame on them, but, there's quite a few that they didn't even last to the third inning. You can understand if maybe they petered out in the eighth inning, but, some of them didn't have any foresight. And, of course, this will get me started on my favorite diatribe, which is there's far too many lead partners that have undertaken transactions for the fee burden that they impose on the other partners. In other words, it's money they're going to get, most of it, whether the project's successful or not, which we don't recommend investing in those transactions. And if you don't understand when that's happening by looking at the documents you're provided, you really need someone to ride shotgun with you that helps you understand what you're signing up for. Because, boy, were there a lot of people that were surprised over the last 2 years when their partnership dried up and went away. And so in any event, but the beauty of the private company transactions is that we get to revalue that investment based on the private company discounts, and we end up calculating tax that's a lot lower, probably in many cases half or more lower than the amount of money you invested. And you don't have to sell those investments to capture the reduction in value. So it's very easy to undertake the conversion. But in any event, okay, well, let's take our second break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some recent news. The GOP is mulling some sunset provisions, 4-year, for Trump tax benefits in the reconciliation bill that they have recently, I believe it finally passed. If not, it probably will, looks like. But it again, provides the impetus. If you're a thinking taxpayer, you think about things, you need to be thinking Roth conversion, because the tax situation we're in is not going to go to zero, and it's likely going to go higher just due to the math. It's not Republican, it's not Democrat. We can play these games as if that matters. Really doesn't. It's the math involved. That's the amount of the deficit, the cumulative deficit, and the unfunded deficit, more importantly. That's the big train that's barreling down the tracks. Anyway, let's take the break, and we'll come back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing. Big dreams and fake dreams, and there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be A Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been talking about the self-directed 401 trust and some of the benefits that make it simply the best vehicle to invest in real estate with, and specifically into the private partnership syndication arena. So if you're contemplating investing in those types of investments, You may want to learn more. You're welcome to fill out our intake forms at baplanner.com, and we'll explain to you why the 401 trust is even within the retirement arena when you look at IRAs or simples or assorted other types of retirement plans. The 401 is head and shoulders above those. Just one example, there's a tax that retirement accounts will pay except the 401. The 401 is the only exempt plan type. If you have gains from a 401, if you have gains within the 401 from a partnership investment that has leverage, which every investment that a partnership undertakes will have leverage. It's called a mortgage. And even though you're not signing on the mortgage, you're still affiliated or associated with that debt. And if you do that through a self-directed 401, it pays zero tax. And we refer to that tax as unrelated debt financed income. The acronym is UDFI. An IRA, even a Roth IRA. Does that surprise you? Does everybody I ever mention this to? Even a Roth IRA will pay tax on the gain that comes from a partnership that the Roth IRA holds or the regular IRA holds that had debt. And there are some exceptions, but they're very narrow. It would involve a scenario where the partnership paid off the debt a year or more in advance of exiting the project. When's the last time you saw that happen? I've never seen it happen. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it again, the 401 trust, self-directed now, is simply the best vehicle to invest in real estate, period. Better than cash, better than your money market, better certainly than ripping the Band-Aid off. You're getting nothing from that strategy that you can't get from the 401, and you're not paying out the cost of undertaking it like you're going to. Remember, on $1 million, I guesstimate that's an extra $200,000. That doesn't even count state income tax, and it doesn't count, self-employment wouldn't come into play necessarily in that situation, but it's just crazy. Every time I hear that, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I can't believe that the people that talk about that, and all I can surmise is they figure that's the only way they can get paid by you to join their program, because most of them will have a $20,000 to $30,000 fee to join their program that allows you to invest in those transactions. That's the only possible thing I can think of. And there's other ways of doing that, by the way, with the 401 that are just as markedly different and better as the tax scenario is with the 401. So again, if you're thinking about, which I do encourage you strongly to consider, the real estate private partnership market, there's no question the market is returning to form now, it appears, but you got to be careful and you have to know a little history before you start giving your hard-earned money to the folks that are running those transactions. Anyway, okay, so just before the break, I mentioned to you that I was going to discuss briefly an article. Let's see, when did this? Came in on the 27th, so that's earlier today. Well, no, it's today for me, but I'm ahead of you. No, we're on the same day. It's 27th still, both in Asia as well as Texas. I'm going to read just a little bit of this. It's not that long. House Republican leaders are considering making some of the key tax benefits that President Trump promised on the 2024 campaign trail only temporary policies in the reconciliation bill that's currently being crafted. A sunset period of 4 years is under consideration for policies such as eliminating taxes on tips, Social Security benefits, and overtime pay. And by the way, this was the committee. Well, the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget has opined on this. I don't think they wrote this article. But anyway, the move has drawn criticism from a budget watchdog group, the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. They're not necessarily partisan. They kind of straddle the fence. They've got probably an equal number of old Democrats and old Republicans that are on their board. But they've described the possibility of scoring certain tax benefits as temporary rather than permanent to estimate the full cost of the package as manipulation that wouldn't show the true cost. And that's probably true. I mean, what Congress hasn't done that, right? So, but, you know, the problem is if it won't pass, I guess, the test that CBO is going to put on it, which they're going to try to score it, and I'm sure they're going to score it as being more costly than beneficial from the standpoint of outgo versus income. But anyway, Maya McGinnis, the president of the CRFB, quote, "This ad hoc, inconsistent, manipulative, and disingenuous approach to budgeting is enough to make your head explode, and it is going to make the debt explode. Congress isn't even pretending to do honest budgeting at this point. The whole argument behind the current policy baseline was that temporary policies should be counted as permanent, and yet here they are trying to count some of them as temporary, so they're going the other way." And I don't know. I mean, you know, the part of the problem is the scoring doesn't take into account some of the other things that we know are in the progress of taking place, like tariffs. There's no mention when CBO will do the scoring on this reconciliation bill. I can promise you they're not going to consider the tariffs that are getting ready to start flowing, or so it appears. They're also not taking into effect much of the DOGE trimming that's taking effect or getting ready to, although admittedly it's not near as much as Musk had earlier predicted. But maybe when Musk said $2 trillion, I can remember on the campaign trail, maybe he was thinking like Congress does with all their legislation, quote, over 10 years. That's how they score all of their legislation. It's not a tax increase of $300 billion. No, it's a $300 billion amount over the next 10 years. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, when you factor those items in, it's net positive instead of a net negative. But anyway, continuing on, let's see, Mark Goldwine, Senior Vice President at CRFB, again, Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, says that those temporary, showing those policies as temporary would hide the true cost of such tax benefits. It's completely hypocritical, he said. You should still score it on a permanent basis if you believe in current policy, but they don't. They just believe in doing whatever is going to help them get their number. They don't care about current policy or current law. Well, it's Congress. What do you want them to say? You know, they're doing what the last guys did, or the last crew. Both parties have used budget reconciliation in past years, yes, thank you, and they have included sunset provisions in legislation. What makes this situation unique, according to Mr. Goldwine, is that the GOP is considering making some policies permanent and others temporary within the same reconciliation bill, so as not to score the cost of each over a 10-year period. Oh, so they're doing a better job of hiding the intent than the last crew did. Things that are supposed to expire under current law, they're assuming are permanent, and so therefore extending them is assumed to have no cost, even though it does. He said the entire premise of a current policy baseline is to count temporary things as permanent to determine the true cost of legislation. Well, I know this. The CRFB came out a while ago before the election and had an estimate, and they reference it in this article. The CRFB has estimated that the full reconciliation package could cost as low as $5 trillion or as much as $11 trillion. That's a lot to add to our existing debt load. And anyway, so what does this mean to you? Again, I always try to come back to that, you know, point. What do we do? How do we protect ourselves in spite of the lunacy that takes place in Washington, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans? And I'm going to keep saying, until they cut the Roth conversion out of the code, you got to convert your pre-tax money. That is the single biggest thing in your life that you can do to control your future retirement years in terms of being able to pay your bills and, you know, expend funds on the things you want to do in life, whether it's travel. And by the way, I said something earlier on. I was talking about living part-time living abroad. You know, that can seriously reduce the amount of money you need for retirement, if you think about it. When you're able to pay 30 to 50% less, depending on whether you're thinking Philippines or Thailand or Vietnam, there's a lot of great spots you can hang out in. It can substantially give you a leg up on the conundrum of, do I have enough to retire? Anyway, we're at the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the wide-ranging discussion. And we will be back on Friday, 11 a.m., right here on KSEV AM 700, the voice of Texas.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.